This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I'm Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I communities, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking, but most importantly, to facilitate change toward greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. Before we dive into tonight's show and put our dear guest out of her misery, I just wanted to thank Dana and Mason, who are the new Thursday night drive, afternoon drive show, and the Informer that you will hear every Monday to Thursday between 6:30 and 7, and to the lovely Beck for the news. We have a large contingent of folks in the studio. Mm-hmm. The lovely Beck is next to my on my right.
Hi, Michelle.
Who's calm. She's just sauntered into the studio after returning from overseas.
So I just got off the plane straight here. That's how professional I am.
Oh, she's
and the things I do for you, Michelle.
And the lovely Clayton across the desk pushing our buttons tonight. Before we get into tonight's show, wanted to thank Beck, Stephanie and Clayton for the last couple of weeks and in particular the last couple of months. So I've not been a regular on Thursday night, so it's actually been good for them because they've been allowed to talk more than they normally would.
That's right. And we haven't broken the show
absence. You haven't, and I have listened to podcasts, which if anybody wants to catch up on any of our shows, they go to the Joy website, and we have got a phenomenal array of podcasts, and in particular one from last week, which was extremely educational and
it was very educational. I think they should. Yeah. Every woman.
And who was it? It was Gina and
Ruby.
Ruby from. And Clayton.
I wasn't even going to talk tonight, as always.
We knew.
It also has my favourite podcast title I've ever done, which is totally bragging. I'm getting over it.
Told you that was the best one I'd ever heard.
The podcast is called Damn Her. Spelled D-A-M. So,
and
you have to listen to the podcast to understand.
Well done, Clayton. So. Without further ado, whenever I spoke to my guest prior to tonight, there was something that was really interesting that kept arising. She constantly mentioned that she wasn't different and she wasn't very interesting. And why would we want to get to know her and what would she have to say to contribute to our conversation? And that she's always just seen everyone as all the same. This the difference is that Marion is a very young 75-year-old ally, and most people her age perhaps would not share the same view, and that's exactly why you are interesting, young lady. So now, Marion, welcome to the microphone.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
That was a bit of a long-winded introduction, but it was really important because when we've spoken, you did frequently say, why do you want to talk to me? Well, you know, what have I got to say? the thing is, we don't talk to people your age very much on air here.
Right. That's in the
community. And I think this is why it's so important. And allies come in, as I say in my intro, in, you know, every shape, size, age, religion, sexuality, everything. So do you consider yourself an ally?
Yes, I would have to be in that. As I said, I don't know why. When I said I don't know what to say, I just accept people. And then I've thought a lot about this in the last week or two, that trying to think of something to say, that, like, when I was travelling in England with a backpack on my back, and people would look down their nose at me, and I'd say, well, you don't, I'd think to myself, you don't know anything about me, you know, just, you don't treat me like that. And I think that's how I see, you know, everybody, that you're accepting and treat people with respect, and that's I think that's about as all I've come up with so far.
That's pretty good.
It is, and there's no right answer at all ever. And I think that what fascinates me is that, and as I also said, that most people, I would think, or a lot, maybe it's a generalisation, that of your generation, being gay was something that was a mental illness. Homosexuality was illegal. I know, and I've talked, my mum is 80, so a little older than you, and she's got friends, as I do, and people that don't want to, have cut off family members for being gay, or they've been disowned. And our generation, you know, Clayton's, Beck's and mine, is significantly more accepting. And I'm wondering, why do you think...
I don't know why, even my brother and sister, you know, I really don't know what their attitudes are. But trying to think back, when maybe in my teens you'd be at a dance, and, you know, I was told that the men can't dance together, but the women can. But no, it was never presented as a good or a bad thing. It was just a fact.
And did you ever question that?
I think probably, you know, my early teens, I was thinking, well, you hear about women at the back of the ballroom waiting for a man to ask. And I think back then I naively thought, well, the men aren't doing their job. The poor women are sitting on the outskirts, and you know, they should be asking them. You know, I don't know. I'm very naive.
No, that's a really interesting observation. Can you remember, and this is tonight, there's such a big story, I think, so I'm just going to ask you a random question. Do you remember the first time that you met a gay person?
I can remember when I was living in Adelaide, being invited to dinner at a friend's place, and some other friend said to you, oh, you know, she's a lesbian. And I said, oh, no, wondered why, you know, what that, or, you know,
why it was relevant.
Why was it relevant? And I went there and was just like with any of my friends. I had it, but so that was, I think, probably the first time that I was really confident that I'd met a gay person.
And they've been happily together ever since.
That other voice is James. Now, the reason that James is in here, and I think Marion's going to be one of our favourites, but just really quickly, why is James here tonight with you, Marion?
Because he's been my neighbour for 10 years. And I would say the first time I went to one of James's parties,
she's a dancing queen.
No, you are.
I realised I was the only woman, and probably the only heterosexual,
and the least hairy person in the room.
I think that's why James invited me, because he knew I'd be comfortable. And another, well, one story that I think might be relevant that I've said. I had a friend who, after about 25 years of marriage, came out as gay and left his family. But he would come to Melbourne and take me out for a meal. And because, you know, our friendship hadn't changed because he was my friend. And one lunchtime at South Bank, he said to me that he had a permanent partner now. And I said, oh, that's lovely. You know, how did you meet? It was, you know, as you do. And he said, I can tell you, Marion, which I think is the best part about the story, because he said it was naked in the dark at a gay sauna. And I'm saying, oh,
well, that's nice.
Yes. Oh,
good on you. You remained calm?
Oh, yes, I remained calm. But it was a surprise. Oh, but gorgeous. I thought that, and I never asked him why. He said he's coming to Melbourne again in January. And I thought, well, maybe I'll. But yeah, I don't know why he was comfortable and why he said, I can tell you. I don't know.
Well, I think he was probably comfortable because of all of those things you've just said, Marion, that you just accept everyone. And what a beautiful, simple thing that everyone should do. But obviously that's quite obvious in your interactions with people, and I'm sure that's exactly why he felt like he could tell you that.
Yeah. We want to all give Marion a cuddle, I think. She's been very nervous and she's had the beautiful, perfect beginning to a radio show. You are listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy. I'm so fancy. You already know I'm in the
fast lane. From LA to Tokyo. Hi, my name is Bella, and you're listening to Stand Up Straight with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
Wait for the last one, the last boom, boom. You are listening to Michelle, Beck, and occasionally Clayton. And I'm trying to think of a nice, warm and fuzzy name for Marion, but I think just Marion.
Magical Marion.
Magical Marion.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, she likes that. So Marion doesn't mind that we refer to her age, and I think we should be, I think as women, we should own our age regardless of what our age is. And Marion is a very proud and punchy 75. And anybody, and we will take a photograph and post it of Marion, and she's just gorgeous. She gives off a very warm glow. It's lovely in the studio. We were just talking briefly off air about the difference, the way things have changed on television. Do you mind just mentioning some of those shows that you were saying and how things have changed?
I don't think I remember the names of the programs, well, with married couples, but they were always in single beds. And because I was thinking a bit in preparation, you know, for the program, and thinking back at about the same time or even earlier than that, you've got Christopher Isherwood and James Baldwin writing books about, you know, sexuality, homosexuality, and it seems what a contrast from, you know, that's all happening at the same time.
Would that have been confusing, I wonder, then, for anybody, but for gay men, that their lives or in a sense is being written about, but yet they weren't represented on television at all?
Not even if a, you know, sort of a married heterosexual couple couldn't depict, their life couldn't be depicted properly on television. Yeah,
I think, I mean, gay people being represented on television is very recent, though. Yeah. Like, it's only in the last probably 10 years.
And in awful ways. They were often the villain or the really bitchy drag queen or the villain or, you know, the nasty person. It was just not Joe Blow that lived next door.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's always disturbed me. I think that it's almost like the gay community had got a bad rap because they were never represented correctly. You know. And then even with me feeling that, that's how, I think that's how an ally is, because you're, I'm going around in circles here, but it's seeing what's wrong and feeling that it's wrong and acting on it. So have you ever had to sort of step up on a soapbox and defend your friends or have you heard homophobic things and you've had to retaliate or?
No, not really. Not in close, you know, with my family or friends, because it just sort of hasn't come up.
And do you think, Marion, I know I'm thinking of my own grandparents who are a little bit older than you, but I don't think they would be, you know, I guess they don't talk about it, but they wouldn't be proud allies. Amongst friends your age, is it unusual or is it just something that doesn't come up?
She doesn't have many friends. Truth be told, she doesn't.
The youngins.
Clayton, turn his microphone off.
No, well, I do have a couple of friends my age. One has a gay son, one a gay brother. But again, it isn't something that you really feel a need to talk about because they're just their relatives, and you know, it doesn't. It's just everything sort of accepted.
I don't know if you'll be able to answer this, but why do you think you're different? Was this a sense of social justice, or were you brought up with a very active, you know, and socially active family?
No,
or anything like that?
Not that. I think I just feel that people should be respected. And that everybody's an individual. I think that's just how I approach things. I don't know. That's why I said it was difficult for me because I can't really explain.
I think working in mental health may have helped, though. Do you think, Marion?
Well, probably. Yeah, guess that could help. That you meet so many people with from all walks of life. Yeah.
Mm. Can you tell me a little bit about your upbringing? Have you got brothers and sisters?
I've got a brother and a sister, and my mother was raised a Methodist. My father was an atheist. And so I didn't have a strong religious upbringing. Mum would send us off to the nearest church, and Dad, we would come home, and Dad would say, "You do it, that'll do you more harm than good." Religion wasn't a strong force in my life, no.
So then you had people that you had a very strong voice, though, at home that allowed...
No, I didn't have a strong voice.
You didn't?
No.
I think one thing that you should definitely talk about is your dad's vaudeville. Like,
he's
a very famous...
Yeah, my father was in vaudeville, and he was also a hypnotist.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
So you've not had a stock standard...
No, probably not. But he was all... And they were both very controlling, so that I wasn't... That's what I say. Didn't have a strong voice because they would make sure I, you know, towed their line.
Mm. Have you ever been overseas? I think you've travelled, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I said I lived in America for 20 years.
Why America?
I met my husband on a blind date in London.
Oh,
as you do.
Wow.
She's good.
I need to go on more blind dates.
On a blind date.
Yes.
Stick
I've
around
never
going
forgiven
on
the man
though?
Who introduced us. Because it really wasn't a very good, very good marriage. But I was married 17 years and, say, lived in America for 20.
And when did you go to America?
1966.
And what was it like?
Where were
you?
Well, we started off in Missouri and then a year in Berkeley because my husband was at the university and he was on sabbatical in Berkeley. Mm. We went back to Missouri for a year and then to Indiana. And I took, I studied in Indiana. And that was, I did a psychology degree there, and that was one thing on my little cheat sheet here about, learning about operant conditioning, and was mentioned in passing in a class about aversion therapy for homosexuality. And I just thought, oh, I don't know about that.
Does that fire you up, that sort of thing?
No, it didn't. Didn't really fire me up. I mean, I think you've felt as though I felt as though I was just one voice anyway. But I don't know. But it was just in passing. It wasn't really a big deal in that class. No.
Did you know what it was though at the time?
Yes.
Yeah. And we
just thought it was a bit of a strange thing to do.
Mm. And it is. I would think. We're going to come back and chat a little bit more to the what did you call Marion?
Magical Marion.
Magical Marion. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
We have Marion in the studio with us, the young and sprightly 75-year-old Marion. And the reason we say that is that it just goes to show that it doesn't matter who you are, you can be an ally. And even though Marion thinks she isn't one, we believe that she is. So Marion has travelled and lived overseas, lived in America for 20 years, you were saying. Mm. But Indiana, has that got a special place in your heart?
Well, it's a lovely university, but what was particularly maybe of interest here is that the Kinsey Institute is there.
Mm.
And as I also did anthropology took a course at the Institute with Paul Gebhardt, who worked with Kinsey. And the the Institute for Sex Research is in the Morrison Hall, and the university has allowed the students, apparently, I never checked it out, but there was one door on the side of the building that is decorated for Jim Morrison, which,
oh, wow.
which I like.
What made you do or study the course that you did?
Well,
there?
It was just offered. It was called Basic Human Sexuality.
But what drew you to, and that was in what year?
It would have been 1983, I think.
So I'm fascinated as to what draws you to something like that, when most wouldn't, perhaps.
The fisting story.
we saw everything.
She didn't. For those that cannot see, Marion did not flinch.
No,
because
I
I'm
did.
Telling the because I'm telling the truth.
So on that, Marion, do you find that your gay buddies?
Yeah.
Do they try and trip you up or embarrass
only
you?
Oh, only James.
Because I found that with my mum, who's 80, there'll be people that'll try and shock her, and she just quarter off a
James says, I'm not shockable.
Yeah. Trust me, I've tried really, really hard.
But it was called Basic Human Sexuality, and one of the very first we saw there was a lecture in the first half of the evening. And then a movie or being shown magazines and photographs. And there was the first movie was of this animal, which might have been about 2 foot high when it was on its hind legs, running around with a stick between its legs, rubbing it up and down, which was just like hilarious.
Might do this course.
You might do this course.
And then, the first time I went to the Kinsey Institute was that a psychologist was invited to the department to give a lecture. And he said he would only come if he could tour the institute. So we did a tour. And the institute has a lot of beautiful artwork that was donated before you could display everything, you know, on your wall at home. So they've got this fantastic collection of artwork, and a lot of it was just in metal cabinets, and they'd open up and there were all these things. And I think a donation was arrived all broken. It was this ceramic thing, and they patched it all together, and it was a phallus about, you know, 5 foot high by the time they got it all together. But so, and we saw a short film and, you know, toured the place. And so that was the first time I went there. And there's a library, a collection that do a lot of research there. So, but let's say the films were, there was a young woman in the class with me, and we left the class one day, and she hung on my shoulder and said, "What's advanced?" Because it was basic human sexuality.
How did you answer this? You said, "I don't know."
No, we just sort of, there's more to come.
Do you think that was a bit courageous of you to go and do a course or study? No. So my sense is that everything, you have a sense of wonderment for everything.
Yeah,
is that right?
And I taught childbirth. I'm a certified childbirth instructor. Gosh. So, you know, I'm interested in lots of things. Yeah.
Wow. And seen lots of things by the sound of it.
Yeah. And heard lots of things.
In the 80s, HIV and AIDS was unfortunately, everywhere.
Yeah.
Were you touched by that at all? Did you know anybody? What was it like on the television over there? We know here.
No, well, the first one that I remember was Rock Hudson was coming. But I don't know if it's of interest. My sister-in-law was working at Washington University in St. Louis, and in 1969, they had a young man die of a combination of diseases that they couldn't work out what. So they froze his tissue, and in about, that was 1969, and in 1980, it was just after I divorced, so it might have been 85, they defrosted it, and it was AIDS.
Oh, wow.
So that was my, it was written up, you know, in all the literature, that she
medical
was
journalism.
One of the team it was discovered that it was AIDS back then, yeah.
Do you remember, did you have a lot of, or any gay friends in the States at all? Or you weren't aware? I know I'm happy.
It really didn't come up. They're just sort of friends or
I'm just wondering, though, whether there was any discussion around HIV then, and or whether it was kind of hidden, or if you heard stories from anyone.
No, not really.
And it was, but was it? What was it like in America in those days?
Well, it was a rather privileged sort of town to grow up in. It was 30,000 students, and the population was about 50,000. Mm. And there was a small town in the middle of cornfields, and it was 50 miles from Indianapolis. It was a land-grant university, and apparently when it was set up in the late, like around about 1880, it was thought that education corrupted. And so the university was 50 miles outside of Indianapolis. They thought that that was a... you know, far enough away not to corrupt people. But then the university was lucky to have Herman B. Wells, who was a very far-sighted person who expanded the university, allowed Kinsey to do his research.
Were you ever tempted to go back and do any more courses there? Were you, didn't whet your appetite?
No. I sort of got a divorce and came back to Melbourne and had to earn a living.
Which was in what field?
Occupational therapy, mm-hmm. in psychiatry.
Wow.
Basket weaving.
I'm an old, proud basket weaver, which the new OTs don't think much of. But it, I,
the new what?
OTs, occupational therapists. Not enough basket weaving these days.
Oh. No, not at all.
And
wisely chosen.
Do you think that that's the field that you went into was chosen for you by someone upstairs somewhere, or do you think that it was a very conscious...
Marion's dad wouldn't say it was someone upstairs.
Well, that's true.
You're right, Ben.
What an argument that would have been.
Neither would Marion either, to be honest. Let's
so
be
you're not a religious person, Marion?
No, not at all.
Do you believe in something?
Sex?
No, I think I do believe just do the Protestant, I suppose, ethic of do unto others.
Mm, that's life.
But I don't believe in a higher, you know.
Have you had any challenging conversations with people along those lines? I dare say don't agree with you.
No, but you're not going to win, so it's not worth it.
Oh, so does that mean then that you back down from a good argument?
In case you didn't get it, that was derision. Back down from any argument ever.
No, I think, but I always say I choose my arguments.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I asked you before about what do you get on your soapbox for. So what is it that revs you up or riles you up nowadays? Other Mr. Trump.
Look, the people who aren't thoughtful toward each other.
Mm.
I think even that could be James would know in certain ways that drive him up the wall if people are selfish in their parking.
Now is this a local neighbourhood issue?
Where we live, parking is a problem.
Marion is well known in Fitzroy for sticking up and sticking in, really, I guess, is one of the comments. She's well known for if something isn't right, she will tackle it head on. She doesn't shy away from public issues or whatever. She's kind of got a reputation.
You're the social voice, would you say, the voice of the community,
conscience.
The conscience?
Well, that sounds a bit strong, but I do speak up for the community, and people tease me a bit that, you know, I look after the neighbourhood.
Why is that important to you, though?
Well, I suppose in a way that the neighbourhood is family for me. I'm not very close to my brother and sister, and my children are in America, and I visit them every year. But the neighbourhood is my family. Even the shopkeepers, I know nearly a lot of them by name. I introduce myself. Yeah.
Do you think that's what's lacking? Because you can go into your milk bar now, and there's very little. I know. Growing up, I'd go there, and the Greek man. I'd walk in, and I'd get a bag of mates for anyone out there that knows. There's a toffee that's covered in chocolate, or he'd know your name, or he'd know your parents' name, and he'd know your dog's name, and you'd get a little lolly before you left the milk bar, and that. Do you think that's what's missing?
Not with me, because I think a lot of the shop keepers that I go to have been there a fair while, and I've lived in the neighbourhood 29 years, so that I'm, you know, it is.
Pillar of the community you are, Marion.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, you are.
That's not far from the truth either.
I'm getting a sense of that. You are listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Hi, this is Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party, and you're lucky to be listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
If you would like to send a message into the lovely Marion, a comment, a statement, a question, I'm sure she'd love to answer it. So you've got about 15 or so minutes to send a message in on 0427JOY949 or send us an email on air@joy.org.au. Just like the lovely Daniel has, he has said he loves the show. Love your work at and around Joy. And thanks, Clayton, for the CSA. That's a little special shout-out for you, Clayton. Aww, Daniel is from...
Thank you.
Daniel is from VAC. Yeah. So we've got Marion in the studio with us tonight, and she's regaling us with a few... We were hoping there'd be a few more saucy stories, Marion.
Yeah, where's the good
where's
stuff?
Where's the dirt? Come on. Have you?
I want to hear more about James's parties.
I think the good stuff starts after we got to know each other, really, didn't it? The number of times that Marion's bailed me out of tricky relationship endings, and she's more, you know the term fag hag, which
yes,
I actually absolutely hate it.
With a passion. Marion, you hate it.
Yeah,
I
absolutely loathe the term fag hag, because Marion's a fairy princess, you know. The reality is that she's much more classy than a fag hag.
I agree.
So when you can't get rid of the dodgy blokes, James, you call Marion.
I actually get advice from Marion, because she's a really, like, she's, we've talked about, she's a mental health worker, so, and there isn't anything. Literally, there is no subject that's off limits. And when we talk about Kinsey and fisting, you know, we talk about things that go on now.
Yeah.
Marion's not in the least bit shy. She knows about circuit. She knows about the Laird. She knows all the bars in the neighbourhood. She knows everything there is to know about being gay in Fitzroy.
Wow.
Trust me.
Question then. Strange on a radio show, I know. But do you wear this almost like a badge of honour? I know the answer to all these questions. I can tell, but I'm just. Is you proud that people feel this way about you, or you just don't have that conscious thought?
No, when you say a badge of honour, that seems as though you're putting yourself above somebody else. It's just sort of who I am. I don't see it that way at all.
But you're there for people that perhaps might not have anybody that provide that level. That's an ultimate, amazing, incredible support that you provide. Yeah. Totally unconditional, I'm gathering. There is no strings, no ulterior motive. There's no agenda. No. You are just there.
You know, there's a lot of homeless people and you know, like street livers and people with mental health problems. Marion knows them all. And she talks to them, and they know. In fact, you've even had them sleeping on your porch, isn't that right?
No, I guess I didn't really want that, but I did. I was more worried they'd pee on the bluestone and it would stink.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Why are you uncomfortable if people speak this way about you?
Because I don't feel special, but, you know. I don't know. And I've got my crib sheet. One last thing I have to say.
She's bossing. She's already
very
bossing.
Bossy.
She's pointing
she's
her finger.
She's an OT.
Own it, Marion. Own it, girlfriend.
One little thing here I'd written in was when did you? And that was to remind me that Paul Gephardt said that when Gephardt were doing the interviews with people, he mentioned in particular that they never did say to somebody, have you had a homosexual experience? They would say, when did you? So
that's persuasive questioning, is that
no,
what
no, no. Their reasoning was that if you say, have you, everybody might say no. But if you say, when did, then that's an accepting way of presenting
it. It's opening it to everyone.
It's opening it up. Yeah. And I did, at the time, I thought that was very interesting. But it does, but it's. I think it's right. Well, that was their reasoning, that... That you know, that's But that's how it was. And that, so that's the end of my crib sheet.
Yeah. So it's the. Do you think terminology is what is the key for people to understand? They use the wrong terminology sometimes, do you think? And they ask the questions in the wrong way, too accusatory or...
Yeah, I think it can be taken that way. If people have their minds made up, and, you know, they might have a particular way of interpreting what you say, so sometimes you have to be a bit careful, yeah.
So I think we just need to whip this question around the room. So, Michelle, when did you have a homosexual experience?
I plead the fifth. Is that what they say?
That's fine. No.
But that's what's really interesting, because I've not thought of it that way, is that if you're phrasing it in that soft, it's like a gentle way, it's you've already proved that you're accepting if the answer is one way or the other. So
not yet.
Well, not yet. But still hoping.
That's right.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'm just in training at the moment.
You've got your training wheels
that's
on,
right.
Beck, have you?
Yeah.
Do you, Marion, do you prefer hanging out with people of similar age or younger? Do you have a preference?
James is nodding.
Not good for radio because we can't see head nods. So you
Marion gets bored with old people. She actually, I think the reality is when we have conversations, I can always tell when she spent time with her older friends because she's narky and irritable and bored.
I have a reason for asking this because, and I use my mum again as the same thing, she'll come out to the theatre with us and then we'll go out for, you know, go to the pancake parlour, who is a sponsor of Joy, till 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning. And my mum loves that and she's 80.
Oh, no, I go to bed early. I wake up early. Partly because of the time change, I listen to American news broadcasts at 4:30 in the morning.
Gosh. Oh wow!
And that's about the time I get an email from my daughter. Is about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So that's my schedule. And I don't prefer necessarily any younger or older people. No.
We have proof James is lying though, because she hangs out with James, so clearly old people aren't a problem for her.
Well done. Did I lead you into that perfectly?
Ouch.
No, I didn't. Now, the reason I asked is it the youth that provide you with interesting conversations and things that perhaps you haven't had chance to experience yourself or it's just
like
new
fisting.
No, that's twice.
You're hung up on that.
You are. Not a lot of fisting talk in the 75-year-old community.
Yes. Yeah. Do you
there's a woman that I walk with 2 or 3 mornings a week, and she's the age of my daughter, and she usually sets it up, and I don't know why she she must have people her early, about 50, to go walking with, but we have a nice time together. We go walking around I've got a Fitbit which my daughter gave me. I've got my 10,000 steps in today.
Wow. Oh, made a shame.
She's also no slouch at a party. Like, she's a pretty good... She's always
dancer?
The first one. I'm known for jelly shots parties. I love jelly shots parties.
Yeah.
And I can promise you that Marion doesn't have any problem with being the first one there and being the last one to leave.
You found your dancing partner.
And it's good to live next door to the party. Then you can just stumble home.
Do you still do the 3 rings when you get home, just that they know you've got home safe?
No, she just yells. No one's peed on the blue stone, I'm home.
We are going to come back. No, we're not. We're going to keep talking. I'm getting the nod and the shape. Marion, what do you think older people could learn from the GLBTI community?
There's a curly question.
Yeah,
don't say fisting.
No.
More of that.
It's like fisting bingo.
I'm
going
to get a call from my mum. What's this fisting?
Yeah. I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
There's some other shows on Joy she can listen to for that.
No, well, again, I think it's just accepting that we're all individuals.
You've got a furrowed brow when you look at me, and I think that's what's really interesting, because it feels like we're not making that there's no need to have. It seems like we're making an issue out of something that doesn't exist for you in your life.
No.
I know. And is there advice. So if you've got one of your friends and they come up to you, oh, Marion, my granddaughter or my grandson's come out, I don't know what to do, and what's the family going to say, what's the neighbours going to say, what would you say to them?
I've got the opposite, actually. There's somebody I know that I'm sure is gay, but he doesn't know it. I'm not going to be the one to tell him.
I don't think it's James.
No, it's definitely not.
No, it's just somebody I know, and it's really. But if somebody did come out and say that, I would probably try, and it will introduce them to more supportive people than I am, and give them information and see what are their fears. You know, why do they see it as a problem? They must have some fears. Or
now you and I know that that's not quite true, because there is someone that you haven't been brave enough, and I'm not obviously being careful about outing anybody on air, but you know, there's you got a neighbour who's definitely bats for our team.
Yeah, but that's...
And you haven't spoken to him yet.
No, but I...
James, stop talking about yourself in the third person.
We're talking about...
It's awkward. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Does it... So it puzzles you that we think... I find you inspirational, and what interests me is the fact that you don't. And... I wonder how someone is made the way you are, and we don't know the answer. It's all kind of rhetorical questions.
Yeah.
And I just find it really fascinating that other people of your age would be as opposite to you, and that's why I think I find you inspirational and fascinating, I think.
Well, I was asked to do this just a couple of weeks ago, and I've been giving it quite a bit of thought, and I haven't got to the bottom of it yet, but maybe if I, think about it a little bit more. But as I say, it isn't an issue for me. But as I said, if somebody said that they were worried that a family member was gay, I would just sort of believe it's all in education. And I would, direct them to where they could get education.
And you're the perfect person for someone like that to come to, Marion, because you are so accepting. And I think people probably are drawn to that and warm to that and feel comfortable talking to you about things. But I think the biggest thing that I'm taking away from everything you say is it's just how you live your life. Yeah. It's not something you have to try. It's not something you have to do any different. It's just accepting everyone and their differences. And it sounds so simple, but we can't all do it all the time, I don't think.
Yeah. Mm. That sort of ultimate soft place to fall, which we use that terminology a lot here in the studio, and I think that that's really important to create, but it's not always easy to create. And I think, and James has spoken very glowingly of you for a long, long time, and about this amazing lady, and that he can talk forever and about anything to you. And I think that that's a really special and a unique relationship, because a lot of members of the GLBTI community don't have anyone, and often joy is the only place that they can feel safe. And it's a really nice feeling, I would imagine, to have somebody across, so close physically.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing is, the context behind Stand Up Straight is that being an ally for LGBTI people, to some degree, is unusual. Like, you have to... Marion was talking about how a lot of the people that she knows don't have a problem with it. But then we identified that a lot of the people that she knows actually have gay relatives, gay children.
That's right. It's that bubble,
that's
a
why.
Bit, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. But Marion's not one of those people. Like, she absolutely doesn't judge, doesn't ever, have any judgment of people. She takes everybody at face value and is so warm and welcoming. Like, she's such an easy person to be around. And there is literally, and I know we've touched on it a few times, but there is literally nothing that we can't talk about. And I love that. I mean, it's something so special. And that's why I think she doesn't even know she's an ally.
One of the things Marion said before she came on air, and I don't mean to embarrass her, but she said she felt like a fraud and didn't know why she would need to be here. But that in itself is just proof that allies come in every shape and every size, and that's what makes you special. And and maybe this is a little bit of acknowledgement of the work that you do as a friend and as a neighbour, and for the GLBTI community. And it's really important. We're all, yourself, Beck, and and I are allies in different ways. Mm. And it's we do work here at Joy and things like that, and it's a way to be an ally and be part of the community. So what you're doing today is also, and tonight, is also being part of the community. And
well, that's why I accepted when James suggested my name to you, because that was one way of showing being an ally, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it hasn't been scary?
A little bit.
But we do have a question for you as well, don't we? Like, when did you have your first homosexual experience?
I'll take the fifth.
So, up tonight is another couple of hours. Fabulous radio here on Joy. So Beck may or may not be in the microphone in that big hot,
hot
seat.
People aren't sick of me yet.
No. We have Family Matters coming up next at 8 o'clock till 9, and at 9 o'clock is The Woods.
And we've got a couple of sashed up bears coming in tonight.
Sashed up bears. Mm. They're words you don't hear very often.
Now, if you want to hear some muscle on the radio, and I know that's definitely not what I'm supposed to say, but if you want to hear muscle tonight, 9 o'clock on The Woods.
And can you top that?
No, we're talking about law and Family Matters, which is slightly less muscly, but also fun in its own special
and just
way.
So you know, Marion does know the what a top and bottom is. She's perfectly okay with that talk.
Wonderful. You should get her back on The Woods, James. And
she probably listen. Oh,
we'll tell you later.
So, Marion,
oh, that something like that reminds me that my car license plate used to be BJO269.
That is the best.
Did you pay for that?
I used to say banjo 269 to my 17-year-old daughter. She said, you know, BJO and. And
what would it mean, Marion? What would BJO mean?
I don't know how to say on air.
You can say anything.
You paid for that, Marion, yes, didn't you? That was a personalised place. I know.
So, Marion, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. And you have been a lovely, lovely guest and a joy. And please never, ever change, because I think you're a beautiful person inside and out. Thank you so much for joining us. And we might have you back again, because I think we haven't scared you off.
That's all right.
Okay. You've been listening to Beck and myself, James, the lovely Marion, Clayton across the desk. Have a great week, everyone. Keep listening to Joy.
Bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.